Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Gary Moore back on the show. Gary is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, an original member, actually. He joined us in the year of 98. Anybody who's goes all the way back to 98, even 97 in some cases, we consider them to be a founding member of our Brain Trust. That includes our good friend Gary Moore. Gary is an investment expert. He's a former investment executive with Payne Webber. He's a former advisor and disciple of Sir John Templeton. He is, and he has many other credentials like that. He is the author of a number of books, including Faithful Finances 101 and my favorite, Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. And he's our good friend, Gary Moore. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Jim. It's always fun.
It's good to have you back. Gary, a year and a half ago, when all of the layoffs were happening, we were still in the, you know, in the specter of the fall of 08, and really nobody knew what was going to happen. We really still didn't know what was going to happen. There were still a lot of folks wringing their hands and worried about what was going to happen. And when all the layoffs were happening, you know, I knew why they were doing it, especially in the fourth quarter of 08, because they wanted to get those layoffs established in that quarter so that their comps would look better the next year. I knew that was part of it.
Right.
And that's good business
in some ways.
Yeah, in some ways. But I said I think they're laying off too many people. I think they're laying off more people than they had to lay off. I still believe that. I still believe everybody laid off more than they probably had to lay off. But there was so much fear that people were afraid not to go far enough. And when everybody else is doing it, you don't get burned by doing it yourself. You kind of are lumped into the prudent conventional wisdom. But now that all that has come home to roost on the balance sheets of these major corporations in the form of a lot of cash. They've got their sizes down to where they can operate profitably with the people that they have, even if they're creating casualty lists with those people. But it's generating profits, it's generating cash, and they're sitting on that cash, Gary. Talk to us about how you think all this is manifesting.
Well, I mean, in unemployment numbers for certain. Remember, capitalism is driven by the concept of efficiency, Jim. Getting more out of less, fewer people.
Small business owners are doing it every day.
Yeah, but not to the extent that I think big business does. Let me give you an example. I'm a small business owner. My wife and I operate out of the back of our house, sort of like Peter Drucker used to do. I don't even have an office, Jim. And our son just got out of college. And he went around to all the big companies and so on, tried to get a job, and found, obviously, what everybody else is finding, that the pickings are very lean. So guess who he's working for?
He's working for Dad.
Yep. And if old Dad was running Merrill Lynch today, my son probably wouldn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the statistics of people coming fresh out of college, he only graduated a month ago. You'll see that that's happening more and more. And that's just a good example of how small business is what we call effective, works on effectiveness more than I think your big businesses do. And that's just a personal example.
What do you mean? Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, the world, Jim, in essence, I work on the morality of money, in essence.
Right.
And if you study the Bible, for example, it will tell you that in the old days that business people who owned fields used to round the corners of the field. And today,
right.
And what that allowed is for the poor people to go out and harvest.
They were required, basically, by their religion to leave some for the poor people to come afterwards and glean.
Yeah, and it was the same thing with if you picked the grapes, you were to leave the green ones so that the poor could come later. Now, interestingly enough, what that does is not only feeds the poor people, but it keeps the poor people remembering how to harvest.
Yep.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
It wasn't just taking stuff to the temple and practicing charity. It kept the poor people with
And it gave them some dignity, some self-respect. They had to collect it themselves.
Bingo. That was a key feature was the self-respect,
Joe. Yep.
So, in essence, that was a very, I think, effective form of economy. Now, in today's world, of course, what we would say is tell the farmers to harvest every bit they can very efficiently.
Right.
And then if you want to, take some money down to the church or whatever and give some charity. The problem is, what's that teach the poor?
Right. Hold on to that thought, Gary. Why don't you wrap that up and continue this theme with our good friend Gary Moore after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassett, Gary. Welcome back, 43 after the hour. I'm not dyslexic. I don't know why I read it that way. It's 43 after, folks. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the talk show host who can't tell time. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. If I didn't laugh at myself, I'd miss the best laughs of my life. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there to help you with your small business. The articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. My blog is there. The knowledge base is there. And our poll question this week, which is right on the homepage. All you got to do is click your answer to the poll question, and you'll see how the poll's going so far. And this week, it's about what should we do with the tax cuts that we got in 01 and 03. Should they be allowed to expire, or should we extend them? Should the government extend them? So take that poll question and let us know what you think. We want to know, and we'll keep you posted on how it turns out. We're having a great visit with our good friend Gary Moore. We're talking about the economy and the reaction to the economy to the recession, I should say. I guess that might have been a Freudian slip there, Gary. To the recession, the Great Recession, as it's called, and some of the Main Street versus Wall Street issues that are going on right now, Gary. And you were telling us about the desire of all companies to be efficient.
Right. And that's what's happening right now, Jim. The stock market's doing okay because the companies have cut and cut and cut until they're, I think, down to the bone and maybe into it. And
in fact, the big problem they have right now is not profitability because they're meeting their profit expectations. But this is something you and I talked about a year and a half ago. I said, they can keep cutting all they want. But at some point in time, they've got to grow their top line, and that's not going to make Wall Street happy. And that's where we are right now for a lot of companies.
Well, actually, what's happening today, Jim, corporate profit margins of the large companies are at 35%. It's never been higher in history. And that's been by cutting. What we're seeing is no top line revenue growth at
that's
all.
Right.
It's all down at the bottom line in expense cutting, which means it's getting more and more efficient. That has allowed them to pile up unprecedented cash, Jim.
Let me throw another thing in there, though, Gary. That little scenario that you just painted is putting tremendous pressure on the people inside those companies.
Absolutely.
And it's creating casualty lists. And I'll tell you something else. It is rolling downhill to the people they do business with.
Absolutely.
And there's a level of stress right now in the marketplace that a lot of people don't know where it's coming from, but that's where a lot of it's coming from. And this is another example to me, Gary, of the Wall Street tail wagging the marketplace dog.
Well, that's exactly right. Have you ever studied the life cycle of organizations in organizational behavior or whatever, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
To put it simply, every organization, I don't care if it's the Christian church or if it's IBM or whatever, begins with a visionary leader. He attracts disciples who share the vision. They go out and they grow and they grow and they grow by serving the world. That's what the vision is about. How do we serve others? And at some point, it grows and it grows and grows until it turns inward and begins to serve itself. It then goes into decline until...
And that's what you just described as Wall Street.
Exactly. Or the Episcopal Church or mm-hmm. General Motors. Mm-hmm. It goes in decline.
Or Washington.
Exactly.
The two parties.
Until it reaches a point where it reforms or dies, it's called.
Right.
Sometimes they wake up and they reform and they come back, like IBM, when they used to say nobody wants a personal computer.
You also can describe unions that way.
Well, any organization,
yeah.
Jim.
Yeah, but I mean, is my point is you and I have just given the audience examples that anybody could see.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Here's what you're talking about. This week's Forbes from our friend Steve, the front of it is How to Win on Wall Street. And, Jim, when you go to the main article inside, it begins with Everybody Hates Wall Street.
Yeah.
And when the capitalist tool talks about everybody hates the engine of capitalism, mm-hmm. you've got a problem, Jim.
Yeah.
But inside it has two charts that shows that the financial industry share of U.S. GDP, I'm reading here now, in 1850 was less than 1%. It grew and grew, and at the it peaked in the war, and then in late 1940s dropped to 2%. It has risen since until it's 8% of the economy today.
Yeah.
But now get this. On the next chart, Wall Street's share of income is on the rise as well. In 1980, Jim, it was 1%. Today, or 100% of the national average mm-hmm. of wages. Today, it's 1.7%.
Mm.
And that's the kind of thing that...
I know that okay. I've seen recently that in 2007... Wall Street bonuses were $100 billion.
Yes.
In 2009, after you and I bailed them out with our tax dollars, Wall Street bonuses were $100 billion in 2009.
Yeah.
And now what's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that picture? While small businesses are going out of business left and right, these guys are paying themselves $100 billion in bonuses. Tell me what's wrong with that picture, Gary.
Well, and that's exactly, there's a whole lot of that kind of language, Jim, in Forbes. And that just scares me to death because, as you say, Steve has always sort of been defensive on that. I can remember a cover story after the crash where Steve had a picture of Steve and the byline beneath it was, Why Capitalism Will Save Us, or How Capitalism Will Save Us.
Well, in fact, I think that may be the title of his new book, as I remember. And we're going to have him on the show. He's going to be on the show before too long, and we'll ask you about that. Gary, give us your website, please.
Financialseminary.org.
And they can find your books there?
Absolutely.
As well as online, wherever books are sold, by Gary Moore. And, of course, his last book is Faithful Finances 101. Gary is an ethical investor, as you might imagine. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Gary, what should these major corporate folks do with their $2 trillion in cash on their balance sheets? Stay with us.
Won't you come away with me?
Oh. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. And you're having a great visit with our good friend Gary Moore. His website is faithfulfinances.com. Is it .com? Is that right, Gary?
.org.
.org. Faithfulfinances.org. You can find all of his books there and all the things that he does. Gary, it's become now pretty common knowledge that the major corporations have got more cash on their balance sheet than probably any other time in the history of major corporations.
Correct.
And they're girding their loins. And so here's my question. Do they know something we don't know and they're being prudent, or are they just hoarding cash? What do you think?
Hoarding cash. No question about it in a recession.
And what should they do then? What do you think they should do? If you had the ruler in your hand and you were going to slap their hand with a ruler, what would you tell them?
Well, let's back up a minute. Last week I saw a rationalization that if you compare corporate cash to the amount of debt on the balance sheet, it's within historical boundaries.
Wow.
Okay, what it did not say, however, think about it, what that's in essence saying is not only does corporate America have all of the cash, they've got all of the credit these days.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
And so
that they don't really need because they got the cash.
And they're not investing.
So they're binding up the credit. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they're soaking up the credit. You know, there used to be this idea if the government borrowed all the money,
right,
then corporations couldn't get it. Well, what happens if corporations are borrowing at all and credit ratings are steadily going down because they're borrowing more and more in the pursuit of efficiency? What happens to the small business owner?
Right.
Take it a loan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they're sitting on this cash, and there's several things they can do. One, they can invest in their businesses. I think they'll be reluctant to do that, Jim.
But aren't all businesses, large and small, isn't it prudent not to invest right now with all the uncertainty coming out of Washington?
Well, yes, but it's bigger than that, Jim. I think here's the problem. We have the largest...
And notice I didn't say coming out of the White House.
We have the largest concentration of wealth among the affluent, Jim, since 1929. Here's what really scares me, okay? And that's according to the Wall Street Journal. This isn't left-wing publications. We've got the Henry Ford problem, Jim. You remember that he was building cars, but nobody could afford to build them?
Right. You mean buy them?
To buy them, yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
So he made the incredible announcement one day that he was going to pay people $5 a day so they could turn around and buy his cars.
Right.
Okay. Now, sooner or later, corporate America is going to have to wake up and say, we've got the Henry Ford problem.
Mm-hmm.
We're so efficient. We're producing all this stuff. But the average consumer out there is not doing too well, and they can't buy it. So what are we going to do? Well, they're going to have to disperse cash by investing it and hiring people. They can do share buybacks, or they can increase their dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with increasing the dividend,
it keeps the money concentrated.
Well, it keeps the money concentrated, exactly.
Because poor people don't clip coupons.
That's exactly right, Jim. And sooner or later, somebody, either corporations, I think what Gates and Buffett the other day did by getting all of the very wealthy to give their money away, you know, sign mm-hmm. the pledge or whatever,
right.
was an attempt in that direction. I don't expect that that's going to be very successful.
Right.
And so I think they're going to let the estate tax more or less come back in. To take care of. This will surprise you, Jim. Do you know that Sir John Templeton, I was with him one day, when somebody asked, shouldn't we just do away with the estate tax? And he amazed them by saying, no, always thought the estate tax should be 95%.
Wow. Well, I sure disagree with him on that.
Well, what he said is, I've never seen inherited wealth do anybody any good.
Well, that's not his decision, though. That's up to me and you.
But I've still got to tell you,
God bless Sir John. He was an oracle, but just like Warren Buffett, he wasn't right about everything.
Well, yeah, and
Warren Buffett isn't right about everything either.
No, and John,
I take his advice with a grain of salt.
But it I have to tell, when I talk about Sir John being pro-capitalist,
yeah,
he believed in letting
that is a paradox there.
Well, he agreed in letting anybody make as much money as they want. He did not.
They just didn't get to take it. They didn't get to control it after they died. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So you think the corporations could literally stage a recovery by just starting to invest?
If they start to invest and hire people, Jim.
Yeah.
Now, if they're
it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, yeah, and all
the dam is, we got all this stuff backed up by this dam, right?
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah, we need to let
but
the dam.
You also have to think of who's going to buy it. And maybe they can do what Henry Ford did, which is stimulate buyers by hiring more people. I don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
But that's the issue that's going to be very difficult for corporations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see that happening either. But I will tell you one thing, though, Gary. Something's got to give, and it'll happen sometime this year, I think. Hey, Gary, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Always good to be with you, Jim.
Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen, what a great resource he is for us and has been now for almost 12 years. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.